Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got in my imagination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too, and you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too?
Here we go. We're live. Well, if you found this, we're live. MWCConnection.com. I'll probably fix the beginning because I'll probably sound weird. Mountain West Connection. I say it every week. Facebook, Twitter, MWC Connection, Jeremy Moss. And I'm not with Chris Andres. It's him who's not here this week. We're with our other good. What am I trying to say here? Matt Kennerly is with us, who helps out the podcast quite a bit.
I'm good. So, just say that.
That's a terrible introduction. We have you here to join us. That was awful. I'm like, we have this guy who we kind of know sitting in. But no, that's not true at all. You've helped me out when I'm like, it's 8:30. Can you come on in 10 minutes?
Yeah, no problem. No problem at all.
We're good. So, yeah, your team's not very good, but we'll get to your team lately. But that's okay, right? Are you managing the season?
The only thing, I've said it more than once, I'm sure. The most troubling part is just trying to figure out different ways to say the same thing week after week in the recaps. But yeah. Like you said, we'll get to that game.
Well, so let me ask you this. Is this one of the first times you're more excited for basketball season then, maybe?
I mean, at least the basketball team looks like they have some upside.
They got a first place vote, so there's potential.
You get the player of the year.
Preseason player of the year. Get it right.
Still counts for something.
Oh, it does. Hopefully. That would be... I just said this in basketball. We'll get to football, folks, but they're just going to be a thorn in somebody's side, and they'll probably be a couple of teams above them. So that's probably what Fresno will do at hoops-wise. But let's get to football. I don't know what to make of the conference. First game, Friday night, San Diego State, 48-14 over Utah State. What the heck happened?
Well, what happened is the Utah State's offense had a hard time getting going, and San Diego State's didn't. Now, if you look at the drives in the first quarter especially, Utah State went, three, and they traded three and outs on their first possessions, and then Utah State fumbled. San Diego went down and scored a touchdown. Utah State went three and out, scored another field goal, and then Kent Myers threw the interception. They scored another touchdown, and the next thing you know, the game was, they were down three scores by the end of the first quarter. It was, all downhill from there.
It's just surprising, because again, it's surprising. This is the same. Well, I shouldn't say it's the same team, but this San Diego State team lost to South Alabama.
Well, I think what's most shocking about it is, having seen the Aztecs play a couple times. You know what kind of team they are. They're a team that's going to win with defense, and they're a team that's going to win by running the ball. And they did both of those things. Maxwell Smith is not a good quarterback by any
chance. He's awful. He's terrible. You could say it.
He only threw 10 passes in this game because he didn't have to throw the ball because, Chase Price went over 100 yards, and Donnell Pumphrey looked like we all expected him to be all along.
I'm thinking, who's their OC there? It's not Andy Ludwig anymore. Whoever it is, I don't know his name. It's not that important. They finally figured out their quarterback stinks, so let's throw the ball 15 times at most. But hey, we got this running back here who is very good. I think, I don't know why it took him half the season to realize Pumphrey, Price, if it's over 3rd and 5, we'll throw the ball. If not, we'll run it. Yeah, I don't know. It took him forever.
Step one, Danelle Pumphrey. Step two, Danelle Pumphrey. Step three, question mark. Step four, profit.
Yeah. It's just a team. I know they got a few players back from suspension, but getting a linebacker back and a starting offensive lineman can't be that big of a difference to me for them to have this turnaround the past couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest shocker is that they were able to kind of run the ball down Utah State's throat. You know, I think we would have expected, you know, more of a low-scoring game, if anything. And, you know, that wasn't really the case. You know, if you look at the box score, you can see that the linebackers for Utah State racked up a bunch of tackles. Kyler Fackrell and Nick Vigil had 10 apiece. But, you know, that's because San Diego State was moving the chains over and over again. They were, let me look this up real quick, trying to find what they were doing on third downs. They were 8 of 16 on third downs.
There you go.
And, I mean, they were putting themselves in good positions all along. Like, I don't know if you're looking at the same box score than I am, but some of the team pages do something really interesting where they, like, break down the plays that were run. Mm-hmm. Guess how many passes that San Diego threw on first down?
Zero.
Zero.
As it should be.
Ran the ball 30 times on first down. And, you know, if you look at the breakdown, they were able to put themselves in manageable positions more often than not, running on first down, running on second down, and then breaking off some big plays on third down.
That, and they ran the ball 6-1. They ran the ball with 61 times a 10 attempt, pass attempts. So it's not like Utah State didn't know what was coming.
Yeah, and I mean, on the other side, you know, they weren't able to get anything going through the air. Kent Myers did not have a very good game. You know, he was only 8 of 19. He did have the one touchdown, but he had one interception.
The one TD to Hunter Sharp was a pretty good throw, but that's a half his yards, 45.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe the defense, you know, they've been leading with the defense pretty much since conference play started. If you look at some of the numbers, especially in the conference-only numbers, you know, this San Diego State team might be more for real than I thought they were. I mean, I thought they would win the division before the season started. Mm-hmm. But if the defense plays this well going forward, this is the team that has a very good shot of winning the conference.
I think, yeah, they do, because a lot of people, let's go back to last week with Utah State crushing Boise State. But I'm going to give a blanket statement that's probably not completely true to Boise State fans, but and this ties into this game. I'm not just piling on to pile on. And even though Chris isn't here to defend his Broncos, but I think he would agree with me. Well, yes, that 8 turnover game for Utah State was a fluke. It still happened, as with this Utah State game. They're not going to always turn the ball over 4 times. They're not going to give up 5 rushing touchdowns, 336 yards, but it happened. It's not the norm, but it happened, and it shows how flawed every team in the conference is. Utah State gets blown out with probably we thought had the best defense. I knew they'd get yards on the ground, San Diego State, but it just proves I don't know who's going to win. Boise, they're flawed if they don't have McNichols or against when Utah State's clicking. Aztecs, if Pumphrey's running well, Chase Price. It just shows like anybody can, not stupid slogan, anybody can beat anybody, but that's the case. If you're playing a little bit down, you can get blown out in this conference. And that's happened quite a few times. In this game, it's not the norm, but like you said, if Aztecs can run the ball like this against any team, they could beat any team in the conference, even though they're 5-3 and outside of this game haven't looked all that great this year.
Yeah, I'm starting to think we need to pay more attention to the Aztecs. You know, we talk a lot about how Utah State might have the best set of linebackers in the conference, but, you know, Jake Felly forced a fumble. Mm-hmm. Calvin Munson recovered it.
Munson,
you know,
yeah.
A really good season so far, and even, you know, Ryan Dunn, the other linebacker in that crew, they've all been playing really well. And so I think, you know, as long as they keep doing that, you know, San Diego State's got a chance to beat pretty much anybody going forward.
They might go undefeated because let me pull up their schedule really quick, but I don't think, do they play Colorado? I know they miss Boise. Do they even play Colorado State or Air Force?
They're at Colorado State next Saturday.
Okay, that's another big one because Rams, they're good enough to possibly win that game. And it being a road game, I would still give a 50-50 chance for either team to win that game. It's no for sure thing by any means because Rams, I think they're good enough.
Yeah, their last four games are at Colorado State, home versus Wyoming, at UNLV, and home for Nevada. So what are the odds that, what's the percentage of likelihood that they go 4-0 and go undefeated in conference?
I would give them probably 50-50 chance to win the rest of the games before the title game. However, I could also see them going 2-2, losing to CSU and Nevada. That wouldn't surprise me if they lose those two games. But then again, the way they're playing, like, they handled San Jose State. They got off to a big start. They cruised versus Hawaii. They beat Fresno 2 touchdowns. So they're probably playing. I think they're the best team in the conference at the moment, not overall, but they at worst, they're going to win 2 games. But I would not be surprised if they go undefeated the rest of the way and finish with, 9-3.
Yeah, and I mean, for the Aggies, losing this game isn't the end of the world.
There's nothing.
Even though you've got three or four teams now, 3-1 in the Mountain Division, I'm pretty sure they still have the inside track at this point just by virtue of having beaten Boise. And they've also beaten Colorado State, which...
Colorado already has multiple losses, though, so they're kind of out of it already, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, they've still got games to come against New Mexico and Air Force. But just the fact that they're undefeated within their own division, I think, is still something that they can hang their hat on. And, sure. If you want to call it a weird game that kind of got away from them, I couldn't argue that fact. You would just hope that the offense can be a little more dynamic going forward.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Lawan Hunt's not the starting running back because our guy Parker Robertson, he's like Devontae Mays as the running back. They kind of been hiding him. He's the guy. But Kent Myers, he still only started 7 games, I believe, or 8 games in his career. He's barely played as much as other quarterbacks or what you would think from Utah State team. Like, oh, you got this good quarterback. Yeah, but he's still inexperienced. He still needs to learn how to throw better. He didn't run well enough because, like you said, Aztecs could have the best linebacking group. If not, they're – geez, if it's what Utah State and Boise State and San Diego State have – these are probably the three out of the top 5 out west. And so, and look what they just crushed them for the San Diego State. Have you voted for our poll this week for the Mountain West poll? Have you put in your ballot yet?
Not yet, no.
Who would you put number one? Or who are you thinking about?
I would, if it were me right now thinking about it, I'd probably put Boise State 1. Just because, like you said, last week was kind of a weird week with the turnover palooza. But overall, I think they're probably still the best team in that division, even if, a month from now they don't end up winning the division for one reason or another.
Yeah, I ended up going to San Diego State, Utah State. Kind of my top 3. That sounds about right for this week.
Yeah, I think, if it were me, I would still hold out for the San Diego State, Boise State championship game.
Mm-hmm.
But, right now the Broncos are going to need some help to get back into that pole position.
Yeah, it takes another loss. So while they could be the best team, they still need help. All right, let's go into the game, which I know you want ready to talk about. Fresno State did hold a 14-7 lead at one point.
They held a 14-0 lead at one point.
Oh, 14-0. I apologize. I don't want to not give all the credit. But then failed them again. Yeah, sad defense. 42-4 is the most positive thing about Fresno State is that they're actually sticking to one quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of hope the past couple weeks. That's the most positive I'm getting from them.
I made that kind of sarcastic comment late in the game yesterday that it didn't look like they were tempted to go back to Zach Greenlay at all. Kilton Anderson, after last week's performance against UNLV, looked like a guy who was starting his second collegiate game. he was, you know, 14-39, no touchdowns, one interception, 177 yards. Yeah, you know, he had a couple of nice throws, but there were a lot of throws that he missed badly. You know, the pressure kind of got to him a little bit at times. He wasn't able to set his feet. You know, the interception especially was a pass that was basically telegraphed to the receiver. He was looking him down the entire time. So, you know, he's got a long way to go. It's going to be a learning process. And to, you know, yesterday was one of those days where it wasn't pretty. You know, some people were complaining even near the end of the game that, you know, all Fresno State needed to do was run the ball three times and kind of get out of there. And, you know, on the last drive, they let Anderson throw the ball three straight times. They were all incomplete. But, you know, I don't have a problem with it because, you know, this is a guy who's basically learning on the job with a bunch of receivers who are, you know, young guys like he is. And, you know, when the alternative is what you were seeing at the end of a game like the Ole Miss game, where they were basically running Marquise Waller when they were down 5 scores, and everybody's like, well, what are you doing? I think okay. if you're giving him the opportunity to get live reps against a defense that's looking to maintain a dominant performance, yeah, I don't have a problem with that personally. Yesterday just wasn't really all that great to watch.
Yeah, I get that too. I did water polo in college, and there's games where we weren't close where it's like, okay, let's say it's like 10-5. There's 90 seconds left, 2 minutes left. There's no point in chucking it from like going for not – kind of comparing this way, it's not like you're going to run a play as fast as you can. You're not going to score five goals in 2 minutes. Or in this case, you're down five multiple touchdowns. You're not going to come back. So treat every possession like, okay, you're down one or two scores where you may run your 2 minute offense or your 4 minute offense. Or in our case, like, yeah, let's run our play normally. Maybe do something quicker than the whole shot clock, 30 seconds is what you got. But we weren't going to like take the ball right off half. It's like soccer. You get the ball midway. We're not going to shoot it right away or try to score it 5 seconds. There's no point. And conversely, we're not going to sit on the ball because what does that do for your team? Like you said, we know what Marquise Waller can do. Let Dave Schramm, who could be soon to be former offensive coordinator Dave Schramm, run his 4 minute offense end of the game to move the ball to get, like I said, live reps are very important. It's hard to come by. So you don't want to give up, but you know you're not coming back, so you're not going to go five deep every play, but you're going to run a pass. You'd want to a pass heavy offense to say, yeah, we need just pretend to do our 2 minute offense.
Yeah.
Get the work in, do it.
Yeah. And I mean, on the other hand, you know, Carson Roberts, Air Force's quarterback, had himself a game. I mean, I don't know how much you watched, but he was pretty much dominant running the triple option. You know, he was, you know, 92 yards, 4 touchdowns on the ground.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Including the one and one receiving touchdown on the trick
that,
play.
That play, because I tuned in and out of that game. I was watching a few things. I happened to see that play. What was it? End around to the wide receiver who does a spin move to Jalen Robinette. Does a spin move because Fresno can't tackle and still lines up and gets him in the end zone. If we didn't have our voting, that could be that's probably the player of the year in the conference because we had our voting last week.
Yeah.
That has to be the player of the year because not that it's a trick play. Doing that play by itself, not that it's normal, but it's still pretty cool. But to do a spin move and still line up and set and get it and be open to catch the ball and make the play, it's like, geez.
I mean, ridiculous. It was problematic in the sense that, you know, like you said, it was, I believe it was Tobeno Kicking who missed the tackle like 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. You know, Robinette, all credit, made him miss on that one. But it wasn't a good throw, really. And the coverage was basically blown. Like, the cornerback on that side of the field basically let Roberts run by him. And by the time you realized the ball was coming, it was great. And it was an easy touchdown. But really, it was kind of discouraging because it's not like Carson Roberts was throwing the football all that well. He threw a lot of wounded ducks. But, you know, they were caught so off balance by it that, you know, then he only completed 5 passes and he got 108 yards out of it. And then you got, you know, of course, the option running game where you have two guys, Brian Driscoll and Jacoby Owens, going well over 100 yards apiece. And as a team, Air Force rushed for 458 yards. which, you know, for them might be par for the course, but for the Bulldogs, that's a figure that, you know, looking it up on Sports Reference, they've only given up more yards than that on the ground twice since 2000.
Man, and that, that's all the yards. Like, me and Chris were previewing this game, kind of looking on the Air Force side. The week before, they didn't have a dominant runner. We know they're always going to run 5 to 10 guys running the ball, essentially. But last week, there was nobody getting, like, Carson Roberts was the leading rusher, I think, with 75 yards, and he's not a running quarterback. He did well enough, I'd say, four touch, not well enough, but we see what he did, nearly 92 yards. Yeah. But he's not like Tim Jefferson, not like Nate Rolmine, not like those guys who are more athletic. But you see, I don't know if the offense changed, if whether they're playing Fresno or whether they have guys who are more healthy, but they had guys like, they had Owens, we figured he'll be the guy. He had like 10 carries, 12 carries. This guy has 8 carries. Benton Washington had maybe 9 carries. This game, they stuck with Owens as the guy, and that could have been the difference. They ran it so many times, but they finally found, we were debating like who's the guy, because it's a different guy every week. And nobody had 100 yards, which is weird. But they, I think they had still 390 overall or something, 350. It could have been the defense, could have been the flow of the game. But they actually stuck to one main runner, which is a good thing to see for Air Force, for them to be a pretty good team. Because they're sitting at 3-1 in conference. If they beat Utah State, they move in front to the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Before they play Boise.
I mean, you could say Jacoby Owens was the guy, but then again, you have to remember that they ran the ball 79 times.
Yeah, yes.
They basically ground the Fresno State defense into a fine powder by running the ball so often.
They definitely did. I just, last week, it wasn't like this. There was like 10, 10, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2. So it was a spread out effort like normal. Maybe I'm being picky because what I expect from Air Force, but yeah, ground pepper is exactly the best term to use.
And I mean, it was especially discouraging because, you know, Fresno State's had problems getting off the field all season long. But, you know, at a certain point, it starts to feel really grim. You know, Air Force was 8 of 18 on third down, and they were also 3 of 5 on fourth down. So, you know, even when they were making third down stops, they weren't always able to get them off the field. The Falcons had, by my count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different drives of more than 8 plays. They had like 5 drives that went, you know, almost 5 minutes apiece. It was really
tough. Makes it tough on a defense.
Yeah, especially for a defense that's starting to trend, you know, to be as young as Fresno State's is. It's hard to watch, you know, when you got guys who are clearly giving their all, especially among the linebackers, and kind of past a certain point, you know, Air Force was ripping off 5-6 yards at a time, and there was nothing that anybody could do about it.
All right, let me ask you this then. I'm assuming Tim Drewder is going to be back because of the buyout, but are they going to go new OC, new DC by the end of the year?
Oh, God, I hope so. And I mean, I'm not the only one. I mean, I know that not a lot of people have commented on my recap, but you know, you're hearing things now about fans being numb to the losing, and you know, even you know, other people are saying like they should leave him at the airport, like you know, like Lane Kiffin or something.
Yes, Paul Lane Kiffin. Do they have the money to get rid of Drewder this year at the end of the season, perhaps, or is that too high of a price?
I would be really shocked. Because, you know, the entirety of his contract is guaranteed, which I believe is like, what, $4 million over the next 3 years or something like that.
I know he gets like, in the USA Today salary release, he's the highest paid coach. I think it's like 1.2 or 1.3. So if that's the same for 3 years, that makes it almost $5 million.
I mean, you look at a team like UCF that's bottoming out this year over in the American.
Ooh.
And the fact that George O'Leary resigned, was it earlier today he resigned? Or he retired?
I didn't know. I heard something a couple weeks ago. I didn't know he's officially stepped down.
I know.
I've been out of it today.
There's an article about it at Underdog Dynasty that, you know, fans, of course, they can check out if they want to. But, you know, best case scenario is Drewder feels compelled to resign. But if he's got a guaranteed paycheck, he's probably not going to go anywhere. But
there's no point. I wouldn't do that either, man. If I'm getting paid, Like, no, you got to fire me or something or kick me out. I'm taking my – you're going to pull a Charlie Weiss, get paid by, what, 10 years down the road, he's still getting paid by Notre Dame and Kansas or whatever it may be.
Yeah. I mean – and, I mean, the problem is not that they're
– Yeah, media. Yeah, real quick.
They're still recruiting really well. I like a lot of the young players that they've brought in and they've started to get playing time too.
So is it coaching? Is that all it is, coaching?
It is coaching. And that's
then how do they – Well, let me ask you this. How do they coach? Because it's kind of, how do they do well? I get it. Derek Carr, Isaiah Bruce, Devonta Adams, Austin Wentworth. They had the talent and coached that talent. So where is it? Because they didn't recruit the guys they played well. So if they're recruiting well, how's the coaching going backwards? Or, you know what I mean? It's like, what do you think? Like you said, they're bringing in players and not coaching, but they coached those guys like 4 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's kind of a chicken or egg problem. But
yeah.
One without the other. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think that there's going to be drastic changes on the coaching staff as much as I would like there to be, because I do feel like they're recruiting well, at the very least. Like, I think I was doing another podcast like a couple weeks ago. They still had the fourth best recruiting class in the conference earlier this year. Mm-hmm. But they've lost a lot of guys off the last three or four recruiting classes, that guys that they brought in and have subsequently left the program. That's the kind of thing that's not sustainable. But I think the fact that they're bringing in those guys to begin with gives them a little bit of leeway.
Okay, gotcha. Just trying to see, because it's a program historically that's been at typically above average in any conference they've been in the past couple of years. Like, whew. So your 4-8 prediction may not be looking good.
No, I mean, if you look at those advanced team profiles that Bill Connelly put up, they're not projected to win a single game for the rest of the year.
Oh my! That'd be 2-10. Who else? Who do they? I don't have their schedule. Do you know who's up next or next couple?
I believe they come home to play Nevada next week, or not next week, but like two Thursdays from now. I got to double check this real quick. They're home for Nevada. They travel to Hawaii, to BYU, and then home for Colorado State.
Ooh, those are some tough ones, man.
Just take my advice, all of you, and just bet against Fresno State until further notice.
So you're taking my stance when I said on UNLV, I'm not going to do it until they prove it?
I know I'm not doing the preview podcast next week. I'm assuming that's going to be you and Chris, but trust me, just whatever points the other team is whatever points they're getting, it's never going to be enough.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's take the minus on it, whatever. That's a good point, because they just won't score enough. That's all there is to it. So let's move on to the next game. It's I love how my internet likes to stop in the middle of this when switching between games. But I believe it's Hawaii's giving up a lead to Nevada. We're all going up against where Nevada somehow came from behind to win. Poor, poor Hawaii. We have a quick question here. Our good guy, Daniel Connolly, he's asking, who does some Nevada stuff for us. And he has to note this correctly, because there's times he puts random questions. He's like, real question, did Nevada come back or did Hawaii collapse? Well, I tried to watch a little bit of this, but for some reason, I watched enough. The Chromecast support for Campus Insiders was disabled, so I didn't like watching on my phone very much.
Really?
For some reason it was disabled. Like, did you have – it's kind of going off topic, but did you happen to be up early enough to try to watch the Yahoo game in NFL in London this morning?
No, I was still asleep like most normal people.
Yeah, especially out west where it was a 6:30 kickoff. But I got up – like saw the fourth quarter or something. I was just testing it out. Apparently they, because I used Yahoo to watch Community because I like that show, and Chromecast works great. For some reason, they disabled Chromecast ability for like the biggest game where they paid $20 million for to get one game, and they wouldn't allow Chromecast ability.
Cool life, Yahoo. Still there, Jeremy? Anyway, okay. So while Jeremy comes back, oh wait, are you still there?
But this game, let's get to that game. Although I pulled up, and my scoreboard is not working, so I love it. I know that he's. Yeah, I'm here. Did I fall?
It seems like you're falling off a little bit.
I believe my Ethernet cable came unplugged as I was getting excited about something. I don't know. First, Hawaii, Nevada. I love it, right?
It sounded a little bit like Max Headroom there for a second.
Is that good or bad?
You know where it like repeats itself like a computer or whatever?
Yes. So not good.
Anyway, well, let's get to the game.
Yeah, let's move on. Hawaii, Nevada. So I don't know how much I heard, but I tried to watch. Chromecast wasn't working, so that made it tough. But I know Hawaii got to the lead. I'm like, hey, Hawaii's going to win. Nevada's just awful. Or they're doing their – basically their Jekyll and Hyde impersonation where they're either ahead big or behind big and come back. They came back to beat Hawaii. And, like, you get tired of talking about Fresno. I keep getting tired a little bit with Nevada where I'm like, yeah, their pistol's doing what it should be. But then it is or it isn't. Like, they should have the running game going, which they kind of do with Butler and Don Jackson. They'll have Tyler Stewart who can throw occasionally, but it rarely seems to be there all that much. And that's why when we're talking about San Diego State and Nevada, I'm like, I could see either team winning. They're just inconsistent, but it's kind of just big extremes for them, I think.
Well, okay, so let's go back to that original question. Whether
which one?
Did Hawaii lose the game or Nevada won it? If it were me, I actually watched the second half of the game. I missed the first half because I was watching other games, obviously. but if I had to answer that question, I think that Nevada won it, you know, by virtue of, you know, they were able to force, you know, three turnovers in the second half.
There you go.
You know, I think if it were a matter of Hawaii's offense, you know, sputtering out late in the second half, I would probably lean towards, you know, that excuse. But the fact that Nevada, you know, their secondary had itself a pretty good game. You know, Asani Rufus had an INT, and I don't know why it's showing me. It says E. Mitchell, but I don't know what the E stands for. But he
I'm
had
not sure either. Just go E. Mitchell.
And you know, you and Chris's favorite Nevada guy, your only favorite Nevada guy, Ian Seau, had himself a game of four sacks. And a forced fumble and a fumble recovery. But that basically kind of put the game away from the Wolfpack.
Also, this game could have been a blowout even by further because Nevada settled for a 29 and 30 yard field goal. They could have won by, what's that, 8 more points at least? They could have almost put up 40 points.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing is, too, is, you know, they put themselves at a disadvantage in field position early in the game. You know, Hawaii was starting at the – I'm looking at, you know, average field position in the first and second quarter. And Hawaii was starting at the 41-yard line in the first quarter and the 36-yard line in the second quarter. And if you compare that to Nevada, Nevada was starting at their own 20 and at their own 32. And in the second half, that kind of flipped around where, you know, in the second half, Hawaii was starting at their own 28 and Nevada was starting at their 36.
Did you see, though, the one kickoff that went from the 35-yard line?
I did not see that, no.
I didn't see that. I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, what's going on? I tried to figure out, but something happened. I don't recall exactly what it was, but Norm Chow went nuts. I probably should look it up, but the Hawaii World doesn't have anything here on it. But he was freaking out because we see Norm Chow kind of go crazy on the sidelines a bit. Could be Grandpa Norm or whatever, needs to nap or something. I don't know. But the kickoff was on the other 35-yard line. So basically, the guy could have kicked the field goal. He's that close. There was two. I should look at the drive strip. I think there was two personal fouls to put them at the other 35-yard line. So that field position, I don't know what happened after. I meant to look it up. I was just busy all day. I'm like, I got to look that up. But there was one point where they kicked off from their own, from the other 35-yard line.
That's weird.
That is.
Never before.
I don't know either, but Hawaii, Nevada's sneaky good, I think. You know what I mean? Like, their team, like this game, defense shows up. Like I said, Seau had a huge game. They forced Hawaii to go just 2-9 on third downs. Hawaii put up yardage per play, but overall they didn't get what they needed, but they forced a fumble. This is just a team where they can be good or not good. That's dumb to say. I know it's terrible analysis, but it's kind of like you don't know what to expect. It's kind of like a surprise to watch Nevada play football. It could be either a treat or eating some the worst, that stupid with Halloween coming up, the stupid Pete the candy they give you an orange or black wrapper, the chewy crap.
Or you get a rock.
Well, a bag of pennies.
If we're making Charlie Brown references and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a bag of pennies or the – here's a pencil and a ruler for you guys, a protractor.
The other thing, too, is, you know, after halftime, they were really able to keep the ball out of Hawaii's hands. You know, they had the ball for over 10 minutes in the third quarter and over 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. So, you know, even when Hawaii had the ball, they rarely had it for very long, mostly because they were either turning the ball over or they just had a hard time getting any offensive traction going, you know, because they had two drives after halftime that didn't end in a turnover. You know, one of them was a field goal. That was a 10 play, 46 yard drive. But the other ones, you know, were 17 and 16 yard drives where they just had to kick it away. And, you know, credit to Nevada for, you know, after the first one, they marched down and got a field goal. And after the second one, Nevada just punted. But, you know, the fact that they were able to keep the ball out of Hawaii's hands, you know, and both by turning it over and by just, you know, stepping up on defense overall.
So let me ask you this. I don't have the schedule. I probably should, or I probably should remember. Has Nevada played San Diego State yet this year?
Or is that one? I believe so, no.
No, that's one of the games. Oh, that's the last game there. It's the game I said I could go either way. Yeah. What are your chances of Nevada winning the West?
What are they in division right now?
I need to look. Cause I only have the overall record. They're 4-4. Because I have a feeling they're a team where I'll get in a second. But like I said before, they could, like when they played Texas A&M, outside of a couple of turnovers, yeah, it wasn't very close. But they were moving the ball reasonably well against a pretty good team.
Nevada's 2-2 in conference play right now.
Mm-hmm.
Which means if they want to win the division, they're going to need to both beat San Diego State and get some help down the way.
Ooh, so probably not. So unless the Aztecs lose next week when they play Colorado State and then also to Nevada, that's the most likely scenario.
If this is the team that shows up, you know, down the stretch in November, I think they could, you know, they could beat just about anybody left on their schedule. But if they're the team that lost to Wyoming last week.
Yeah, and UNLV when they didn't play well.
UNLV, then, you know, this is a team that could conceivably go 4-8, or it could go 8-4.
Let me just we should have looked at the schedule beforehand because we're just a bunch of dummies. They also have to play at Utah State, San Jose State. They could go. Sorry to say this, but they'll probably go 1-3 the rest of the way by beating Fresno next week.
If they do that, that means they go 5-7. And if they go 5-7, is Brian Polian going to lose his job?
I don't think so. Is this his third year?
I believe so, yes.
I think he's reasonably safe. I'd say 50-50. But if he loses, because here's the thing, they could. Yeah, because they're at 4-4, yeah. I think if they lose, not to bash on Fresno, but if they go 0-4, he's out. If they're at 5 wins, they'll probably say, okay, yeah, you had a tough season. He played Texas A&M and Arizona, two pretty good teams. I think he's safe, but there's a possibility they may win only one game the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think if anybody loses to Fresno State, maybe they should fire their head coach.
There you go. All right, let's move on to the next game, which is pretty exciting. San Jose State, New Mexico. Ooh, this is the game I had the most intrigue and wanting to watch, and I watched a good portion of it. Didn't watch it all. I did have to struggle to watch Utah-USC, which quarterback play. Give me a quarterback.
So,
University of Utah, give me a quarterback. That's all I'd like from you. You'd deserve that top five ranking if you had a quarterback. But
while you're at it, kick one down to Fresno State, please.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, give a quarterback to – a lot of teams need a quarterback. So with this game, I am shocked that – I'm not shocked Lamar Jordan didn't – well, first off, San Jose State won 31-21 due to a big the third quarter really turned it around. But I'm surprised Lamar Jordan did not play a bit. It was Austin Apodaca. I'm assuming that's correct. Send letters if I'm wrong. Which I could be. Yeah. I thought I wasn't – because he played well last week, but him getting the starts, he's more of a thrower, and he actually had a few good moves on the ground. He ran 12 for 59, but I thought Lamar Jordan would come in at least situationally, but that was not the case. But Tyler Irvin, player of the year. I don't care. Give it to him. Give it to him, right? 36 for 263.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to argue, especially since it's a big win for San Jose State because, you know, like Nevada, they've still got a shot at the title too. You know, they'll obviously need some help because they've lost their tiebreaker to San Diego State. But, you know, the offense was, you know, efficient. You know, they got, you know, 5.5 yards carry on the ground, but Kenny Potter had probably his best game of the year, too, against this New Mexico defense. He was 16 of 20 for 181 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, you know, they were explosive when they needed to be, but they also kept the chains moving more often than not. And really, I think they kind of beat New Mexico at their own game.
Yeah, running the ball. I kind of thought Kenny Potter would have a bigger game because New Mexico's pass defense, like, I get this isn't Tulsa, but their pass defense has usually been just terrible and awful. And he's 16 and 20, you're efficient, 2 touchdowns, great, but I thought the yardage would be there. But this game was back and forth. Like you had, look at these big runs. You had, I thought Taj Gibson or Terry Gibson, whatever you want to call him now, T. Gibson, I thought he had a bigger game. Yeah, he had 99 yards, but he had a 79 yarder, and that was about it. After that, he was shut down. Jarrell Presley was shut down. This is the first time where I can say San Jose State's rush defense, even though they gave up 200 yards, they did a good job. You take away the one run, and they're sitting at like 130 giving up in the game, if that. Whatever 205 minus 80 is, if you can do the math for us. But that outside the big run, they shut down New Mexico's offense, and that's all they can do is run the ball. And you shut them down, and whoop, game over.
And, you know, it's especially strange the fact that, you know, Tyler Irvin ran for 263 yards. Somehow New Mexico managed 10 tackles for loss. Did you notice that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, like they have, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different guys with at least half a tackle for a loss. And they, you know, they sacked Potter 3 times, so the defense
this time. I noticed a couple, but 10, that's just, I did not think to see there'd be 10 of those.
Yeah,
nobody was negative in rushing. That's surprising. That's even worse for New Mexico than if they could do that and the Spartans still have that much of running game. Man, that's disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's another one of those games too where maybe it was the one turnover, I think, where New Mexico. I'm sorry, I gotta look for this real quick. Give me just a second.
No problem.
Okay, never mind. That was at the end of the game. Well, no, because Apodaca threw an interception, and then San Diego State turned that into a touchdown in the third quarter. And, you know, that might have been the one that put the game out of reach.
Well, that put him up 28-14.
At that point, it was a one-score game, and, you know, New Mexico was never able to catch up after that.
Yeah, New Mexico, here's the thing. Looking at the teams ahead, both these teams are vastly improved. Heck, New Mexico 4-4, geez, they haven't had 4 wins in years. And looking at their schedule looking forward, both teams still can make a for on the San Jose State side. They have BYU on November 6th, which it's going to be an interesting game, I think. They go to Nevada, to Hawaii, and Boise. They can win 2 of those 4 games.
Which 2 do you think it'll be?
Highest probability, Nevada and Hawaii. I've seen enough of BYU to know that they have a pretty good defense, but I'm very curious to see what Tyler Irvin can do against that rush defense, which has been their weak spot at times. And he could be, I'm trying to think who BYU played, but this might be the best running back they've seen all year because they played Nebraska, doesn't have a running game. Cincinnati doesn't run the ball. Utah State, they play them later. Their running game's questionable. This could be the toughest running they've seen in a couple weeks. and it's at home. And I know BYU is going to be pissed because San Jose State beat them a couple years ago. But I wouldn't put it past the Spartans to upset Boise or BYU at home.
You don't think so?
I think they could. No, I'd still probably lean BYU, but I wouldn't be shocked by any means. I know BYU fans would go nuts if they lost to San Jose State, but the way Potter can be accurate and with Irvin just can take over a game, why not?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is going to come down to whether or not the quarterbacks, you know, play up to their potential. Because just kind of looking at the passing offense game log throughout the year, generally speaking, when the quarterbacks have played well, San Diego State's been able to win games. And when they haven't, then that's when you get games like the one against San Diego State where they got shut down, basically. And, you know, the kind of hard luck losses they had early, you know, at Air Force and at Oregon State. In those three games, you're looking at three games where they weren't even able to get 150 yards through the air. And in those three games combined, you know, the quarterbacks threw 2 touchdowns and 6 interceptions.
Well, true. Yes, that. And they've also sat with Kenny Potter fine. I think they're, instead of Joe Gray, they're sticking with Potter, even though both have been about the same.
Yeah, so I mean, it's, you know, Kenny Potter's going to have to play well because as good as Tyler Irvin has been, you know, he can't be the only offense if this team wants a shot at bowl eligibility.
All right, so as for New Mexico, I think they're pretty much done because they have to play Utah State at Boise State, CSU, and Air Force.
RIP New Mexico's bowl hopes.
4-8. I thought if they beat San Jose State, they'd have a shot to maybe beat Air Force or CSU. They still might, but I don't think they can beat both of those. Going 1-4 down the end would have been reasonable, but now they might get one more win.
I mean, you never know with that run offense because, you know, as good as Boise's been in the last few years, New Mexico's been one of those teams that always gives them trouble.
Yeah. In that game last year, I still contest if I think it was Presley, if he – whatever the top running back was, is either Presley or Gibson, have they not gone down? Boise would have lost that game.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, they still averaged, you know, they had a 1-score loss against Utah State a year ago. Mm-hmm. And they put up 49 points against Boise in the loss a year ago. They averaged 10 yards a carry against Boise last year.
Yeah, nuts.
So, you know, if the defense can hold on to the gains that they had yesterday against San Jose State, you know, racking up all those tackles for losses and being able to make stops here and there, you never know. But do I like their chances? I don't know. I mean, if I had to put a percentage on their getting to 6 wins, I would probably say maybe 30%.
Oh, you're high. I'm going like 15.
I mean, it's really interesting because all 4 of their games left on the schedule are all intra-division. They're all Mountain Division opponents.
That's a good point. They do get Rams and Air Force at home, so there's the possibility. 3 of the 4 at home. They only go to Boise State.
They're going to be an interesting team to watch down the stretch because they could play a bigger role than just about anybody in how, you know, the Mountain Division shakes out. And I mean, they still very much have a shot at the division. They're still 2-2. You know, they still took care of business and won, you know, the division games. I think a lot of people expected them to win. They've beaten Wyoming. They beat Hawaii. So, I mean, they have a chance. It may not be pretty. They may do some things that make you throw your hands in the air. They still have a shot.
No, here's the thing. Not even that. If they win out, they win the Mountain Division.
Yeah.
Utah State will have 2 losses, tiebreaker. Boise State would have 2 losses, tiebreaker. Rams are out of it. Air Force, 2 losses, they own the tiebreaker.
Are we ready for conference champion Football Bob, though?
Football Bob! It's not going to happen. But they do. If they win out, somehow it happens. They are your Mountain Division. They will, not only that, they will make whoever the stupid writer from San Diego Union Tribune who hates it, New Mexico would host the division conference title game if they went out.
That would be fantastic.
I think they would. Also, side note, did you see his latest article about whining about Friday night college football?
I did not.
He's just the biggest whiner. We don't need to play it's for high school football. Here's the thing. Let me ask you this question. You like college football. Outside of being in high school, when's the last high school football game you've been to?
The answer would be none.
You know how many I've been to that was not responsible for work? None. not
2015, man. You got like 12 different cable channels all looking for content. So, of course, yeah. Universities like the Mountain West, they're going to try and get as much of the spotlight as they can for their teams. Of course, they're not.
Yeah, if every team could play at 3 o'clock between 12 and 3 on Saturday, they'd do it. But I'm at these games. Last year, I covered a lot of high school football. Yeah, it's fun. When it's a good team, it's fun. Not saying it's not entertaining or fun to go to, but I'm looking in the crowds. There's not, outside of the guys covering the game, essentially, and maybe some, if you have young kids, it's cheap for football to get them into going instead of going to a college game, which can be pricey. There's not many families. Typically families of players and friends and, let's say, a couple hundred people who are just families who want to go to a football game with their little kid to teach them the game or watch a football game. Or if they play football and they're young, like in junior high. But I hate the crap. Friday night for high school. It is, but get over yourself, dude.
That's a battle that's already been lost. And, you know, the strongest evidence for that is the fact that Boise State plays 6 different games on a Friday this year.
Yeah, it's not that it's been lost, but it's a tired argument to make. It's like, I get the point, but there's games Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday during holiday weeks, Thanksgiving. I'm pretty sure Texas A&M, when they played, didn't really care too much to play on Thanksgiving at 6 o'clock. It's like, come on. The guy annoys the crap. I don't care. You can find it. You know who he is. But 2 weeks in a row, he's saying the dumbest crap. The week before was, or not the week before, the head-to-head should matter. That, like, crying over San Diego State not having a chance to host a title game if they somehow get there. It's like, don't lose to South Alabama, bro. That's all I got. it's just annoying. It's like, tired argument. We've seen the ratings. We've seen teams play Friday night. But it's like, I just want to ask people, when's the last time you've been to a high school game just for the heck of it? None. Outside of being in high school? You know what I mean?
Life goes on.
Yeah, I think we'll manage. But let's go to the next game. Boise State, Hawaii.
Wyoming.
Oh, sorry. I was staring at the schedule that had Hawaii right here for New Mexico. Sorry. Wyoming. Not surprised Boise won. Jeremy McNichols was back. He had a good game. I watched about the first half. I'm like, okay, this looks about over. I'm just surprised that they didn't score 50 points again.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing to say is that Brett Rypien rebounded quite nicely from his
Wait. Boise State fan, the fluke game he had where 8 turnovers is always a fluke. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, but you still turn the ball over 8 times.
He came back and had a really good game. You know, he was 22 of 28, 211 yards, 3 touchdowns, no turnovers, no sacks, which is, you know, also a pretty good thing. They pretty much have this one in control from the very beginning. You know, just looking at the drive chart, they scored points on their first 4 possessions, and the defense was able to kind of hold them in check. You know, Wyoming, you know, didn't get really across midfield until their 1 touchdown drive late in the second quarter. And by that time, Boise State was already up, I think, like 24 points. So, you know, the Boise State had a pretty good game. I think, you know, there was a temptation maybe to overreact to last week's result. But this is still very much alive in the division, and I still think, you know, Utah State fans might not want to hear this. I still think Boise State's going to win the division.
It's a possibility. I like it. With Rypien coming back, that's what you wanted to see. It's like, how would they respond? That's why I felt they're going to be pissed and score 50 points or do something extreme. Having him coming back and play as well as he did is a good sign because, again, he's a true freshman, and those games happen. 8 turnovers is rare, but it's also back-to-back years. They've had that happen. But, gee, I know Wyoming's defense is terrible, but 22 of 28. And it could just be getting Jeremy McNichols back, because watching them play Utah State, they had no speed on the outside. and he does so much, and he's not the reason they lost last week. If he played, the outcome would have been fairly similar, but having a more consistent or not trustworthy, what am I looking for, but a more consistent offensive attack running the ball probably makes Ripon feel much better and more relaxed when he knows he's not going to be stuck with second and nine, third and eight, third and long all the time. He's going to get the Arteta where it's third and manageable, where it's like, well, we don't need to throw every time, or it's third and three, and it'll be a reasonably easy pass to make.
Yeah, just even looking what, you know, the same thing I was mentioning earlier, they were leaning a lot on the run, especially on first down, and they had a lot of big plays on first down. You know, McNichols, I think, had one run of 12 yards, another one of 25 yards. You know, he had 34 yards, 32 yards, you know, right up the gut. You know, they weren't doing really anything fancy. And, you know, they took a lot of pressure off of Ripon in that regard. And I think that that's kind of what you have to do. You know, he's still kind of growing into the role. But I think it's obvious that he's probably the most talented freshman quarterback in the conference for good reason.
Oh, definitely. And then also another surprising note was that how we know the Boise rush defense is good, but shutting down Brian Hill.
26 yards. That's a win in itself.
Yeah, I expect it could be they're down, but they weren't down big enough where the quarterback plays terrible. Cameron Kaufman did bad. Nick Smith came in, didn't do anything better. But even when Wyoming's been terrible and not very good on moving the ball in any sense, he would still have 100, 150 yards, 200 yards or nearly 300 versus Eastern Michigan. That's a sign, because I don't think Utah State ran the ball well against them. They do have one of the best rush defenses in the conference or in the nation. Really, I think they're top 10 in yards per yards per play and yards allowed per game. So seeing that's a pretty big deal. And it's just a bounce back game, and they did what they did. They won big. They starters pretty much shut out Wyoming almost. And it was just, let's score 10 points, and they let up in the fourth quarter. And yeah. Tyler Horn had a big interception, so that's good for them. But
three sacks, one interception. I think that's pretty much all you can ask for from this defense.
They win, and they're there's nothing too surprising. The only thing that surprised me was Brian Hill's lack of stats on the game and moving the ball. Besides that, I wanted to see the bounce back game and see how Ripon did, see how McNichols played from being hurt, and they passed every which way they could.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the upside for Boise is I think they've got a pretty favorable schedule going forward into this last month. You know, they're at UNLV next weekend, and then they come home for New Mexico, home for Air Force, and then they're at San Jose State to wrap up the season. I honestly think we should go 4-0. I don't see any reason why they won't.
No, I agree. New Mexico will be tricky, but they'll be more focused, and it's at home. Same with Air Force. The only game, if I'm going to pick.
Are you there? Okay. Well.
That's the most likely game I'd say they could lose, but even then, probably not.
I think you may need to repeat that. You cut out on my end.
I'd say the most likely game they would lose would be San Jose State, I think.
Yeah. I think the most important thing is they get their division games at home, you said.
The rematch is games that they didn't play well. Air Force and New Mexico. They'll want to be ready and like, we're not going to – Air Force is a fluke. We're not going to play that bad. We already had the bad game, so it's out of the system. But then New Mexico nearly beat them. And, yeah, New Mexico will be interesting to watch. But if I'm going to pick a loss, I'm not confident by any means, but the Spartans would be there. But, yeah.
And, I mean, as for Wyoming, I know that they lost Cameron Kaufman to an injury in this game. And so if he misses any time, like, what do we think of Wyoming going forward?
Is it any worse, really? I mean, I should say that, but who is it? Nick Smith? Nick Smith is their backup who was 4-for-8?
Yeah.
The thing is, Cameron Kaufman is a graduate transfer. He's not playing next year. He's actually played pretty well, limited his interceptions the past couple of weeks. And with Tanner Gentry, it's weird. They have a good offense, but it just doesn't seem to click. Part of it's the defense a little bit. Can't help him out too much, but it's not going to make a difference. How here's my question. How much – I'll answer your question with the question. How much worse could it get for them with a new quarterback?
I think it still helps that they have a pretty good running game that they can lean on. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that matters going into the teeth of their schedule in November is another question entirely. You know, because they've still got games against Utah State and Colorado State and San Diego State. All three of those teams run the ball really well. So, you know, if Wyoming's going to get back into the win column, they're going to have to figure out how to make a stop every once in a while, especially on the ground.
I don't think they will. They're going to go 1-11, and that's it.
Yikes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's what I'm saying. 1-11. That's the good fair. Thing is they got hopefully they got Brian Hill, unless he transfers, which hope is not the case. They got him next year, and it'll be interesting with him after next year because he's going to be back no matter what.
Yeah.
So also some other coaching news real quick. Dustin O'Leary, UCF, he stepped down. Did you see the news?
I did not.
He's out.
Wait, who is?
Miami head coach Al Golden has been fired.
Yes, I did hear about that.
I saw it just now, 58-0 loss to Florida. Does not help. Or was it Florida, right? They lost to that bad, 58-0?
No, it was Clemson.
Oh, Clemson. That's what, sorry. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I'm whatever. I'm terrible at teams and names, it looks like. But I got the score right, 58-0. It was Clemson. That's right. Yeah, I was thinking, I don't know what I was thinking. I knew it wasn't Florida, but I said Florida. I know Florida State lost to Georgia Tech on that blocked field goal return for a touchdown, but he's out. This is going to be – here's a couple – we put the poll on the midseason. We'll wrap up really quick here. And instead of putting what coach will be fired, I put what coach will not have their same – or what team will not have their same coach. And I include Utah State, Boise State. Mm-hmm. There's going to be – not that either will leave, but there's going to be – there's already – look at the openings now. USC – Miami, South Carolina. You got Illinois needed a new coach. You need Central Florida needed a new coach. There's going to be other firings and moves. There's going to be, like, Justin Fuentes is not going to be at Memphis. The Toledo head coach may not be there. Tom Herman might be one and done at Houston. He might take over Miami. Who knows? He might take over USC. There's going to be so much movement. Air Force, or was it Troy Calhoun, has already been mentioned at least very little to USC. Not going to happen, but his name's been out there. I'm not going to say nothing will happen, but Matt Wells might be somewhere else. Brian Harsin could be somewhere else with all these big-time openings.
Well, have they put out odds for the Miami head coach like they did for the USC job?
Oh, Sig Bavada. Let me go to my Twitter machine and see. It's only an hour or so ago, at least from what I saw on ESPN.com, but I don't know. Of course, they'll probably have Kyle Whittingham be mentioned.
For USC, but like Matt Wells was like 12-1 to be the next head coach or something like that.
Something low, yeah. But it's thing is about Harsin and Wells. They both went to their respective schools as players and coaches. So
yeah,
that gives them at least another year or two, I think, to stay. I don't see it yet. Let's try one more search here. I don't know, but would you think any of those openings? I know with those openings, those six openings or so could lead to really 15 openings.
I mean, you could be right if we're looking at the potential depth of the carousel. You know, if guys are getting plucked from the mid majors, you know, the mid majors are going to have, you know, they're probably going to dip into major college offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator positions to make up for that, and then. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden, round and round we go. It's kind of hard to think right now, though.
Because here's one really quick that we can make the connection simply. I don't think it's going to happen, but like I mentioned, Kyle Whittingham, Utah, when they're in the Mountain West, Tennessee was after him. They kept saying no, no, no. He needs to be mentioned for USC, but again, I don't see that being the case. But real simple, he goes somewhere else. Why not bring a guy in-state, Matt Wells, down the road, take over Utah? Like, that could be a simple transition that could happen. That's not that far-fetched.
Yeah.
And so we could – or you could see Brian Harsin going to Utah perhaps. That is a step up. Look what Utah's done. There's things around that could change right away, but it's going to take – I think it'll take a lot to get these guys in a new position because who wants to take over Illinois? You know what I mean? It's like yeah, there's a big job opening, but why take over a crappy job? It's a career killer, essentially. Why would you do that?
My best guess is that more coaches get fired than get hired at other positions at the end of the year.
Yeah. And it's like with former Utah State, Gary Anderson. You can't turn down Wisconsin. You know what I mean? It's not like Indiana. It's like, no, you go to Wisconsin, and we all know at least I think it's pretty common knowledge. He goes to Oregon State because he's a West Coast guy, easier to recruit. There's alleged academic issues at Wisconsin, which is proven to be more true than not true with recent recruits not getting in. So I think these two guys, if they're going to go, it's going to go to the right job, not just because you're going to go to the what if Mike Leach gets fired? He's probably not. They're turning around. But why do you want to go to Washington State? You know what I mean? Why do you want to go to Kansas? Which is probably good. It's not going to be open, but it's a positive. You know what I mean? It's like, why go to Kansas?
Kansas is where careers go to die.
They took, if I'm correct, I should look and see, but I believe their coach was a Texas A&M wide receivers coach.
Oh, wow.
I think that's who it was. I think he was OC before Kansas, but something kind of learned, like similar to Brian Polian, special teams coach at Texas A&M, goes to head coach in Nevada. Just a huge jump.
Yikes.
And I think we're pretty much done here. Let me ask you one more question. Have you filled out your underdog poll this week with your own top 15? Have you penned that to our guys yet?
Oh, yeah. I always do a top 20.
Oh, top 20. That's where it's not top 15. I do top 10. I'm like, that's good enough.
I try and be comprehensive just because I can, because I'm a nerd. So.
Well, there's that. If we're doing what we're doing for college football, that easily suffices. I go 10, those last couple spots. I don't want to assume because you were not high in Utah State and people got mad at you last week because you don't want to knee jerk. But who did you put in your top couple? I think I went Memphis. I think I went all America. I think I went Memphis, Toledo, Houston, and then Temple. I think I went somewhere in that order.
Well, I can tell you my top four is exactly the same as last week. Memphis 1, Temple 2, Houston 3, Toledo 4, BYU 5, Boise State 6, Western Kentucky 7, Navy 8, Bowling Green 9, and Marshall 10.
I know I put Bowling Green in my top 10 after looking around at a couple teams. I think I put App State 10, but I'm not sure.
The only reason I put Marshall in the top 10 is because now I feel like I have to hold a grudge against Appalachian State because I don't
because you disagree. One loss, Sun Belt team, never going to happen.
Which... Great. You beat the second best team in the Sun Belt Conference.
You know what's weird? I get your point. You know what I don't like too much? Because... like everywhere you got the action. But American Conference, the Mountain West, like, oh, whatever. Just go play football. Nobody cares about you. You're just good enough to not be get a snazzy nickname. Right?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, they have the hashtag Fun Belt now.
Yeah. It's like, is it really that fun?
But, I mean, let's just keep it simple. The only way the Sun Belt is ever going to get into that new Access Bowl is if they go undefeated and they beat at least one Power 5 team. Appalachian State is neither of those things, and that is why they're not going to get anywhere close to the Access Bowl.
Yeah, I think I just made the argument with you or commenting that I think it would take a couple two-loss teams. But then again, Boise made it two losses last year, so.
Exactly.
We'll see. We'll wrap up on this because we're kind of going off a little bit. But I don't think any team from the Mountain West can get in. Unless, even this is a stretch, a big stretch, because Boise's the best chance, but they need help. Because had Utah State won out, I'd give them a shot, but they're at three losses. If Boise somehow gets back doors their way to the conference title game, I think this is the only way. Toledo has to lose at least once, and the American just beats each other up. And the winner of the American has two losses, and say it's Houston, Temple, or something, and Temple already has a loss. And they beat Houston, something along those lines. But it's probably the American champion no matter what. But I'd be perfectly fine with that.
He's going to start beating each other up in November because I think Houston, Temple, and Memphis all play each other in the next few weeks.
They, They do. And so unless there's two losses each, that's the only way I can see it.
Yeah.
But that's what we got. That's what we have for tonight. I think we've gone, it's getting pretty late here. We've gone for a long time. Discussed a myriad of topics. Do you have anything you want to add before we wrap this thing up?
What I'm saying overall is that I'm sorry, Appalachian State, you're not good enough.
Sorry, App State. Get a big boy victory, is that what you're saying?
Yes. Get one.
What? Wyoming doesn't count?
No, they do not. And neither does Idaho.
That's right, Wyoming and Idaho. The two of the worst teams of the whole FBS.
Yeah.
All right, that's our show for tonight. So check, let's do a, can we get you to 200 Twitter followers soon? Is that possible?
I hope so.
Because you tweet out some good stuff. So as we kind of do throughout every show, I think we get Chris to 400, but it took forever. Follow Matt. Matt K underscore FS, which stands for Matt Kennerly, Fresno State, if you don't pay attention. That's what that really means. Give him a follow, and now you have to live up to that following to do something cool with it, or I don't know, do a little, I don't know, whatever you do on Twitter, have fun with it.
If you don't follow me, you don't get fun facts, like the fact that Kilton Anderson has thrown 91 passes so far, and since 1956, only one Fresno State quarterback has a lower QB rating with at least that many passes.
And who is that?
That is a guy named John Englehart. Played parts of 1970 and 1971.
There you go. Also, really quick, do you post your Taco Bell stuff on Twitter, or is that just Facebook only?
Taco Bell stuff.
Even for a week, you put Taco Bell stuff on Facebook all the time.
Oh, yeah, that was for the Dolo Throto, courtesy of Progressive Blink, one of our other SB Nation blogs.
One of the weird ones. Or no, well, yeah, I was going to say the weird one, but it's one of the weird ones, right?
I wrote an essay about it. If anybody's interested, I can let you read it.
Hey, tweet it out so you get the followers. That's what you do.
Yeah, all right.
I saw that. I'm like, what's going on? I like Taco Bell. It's like, okay, whatever. Do what you want to do. So that's our show for tonight. Yes, we went off topic a bit. We talked about lots of stuff. So thank you, Matt, for joining for the show. Again, we're on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. And as I always say, leave us 5 stars. I'd like some more reviews, but tell us how you feel. You can tell us we suck. Tell us we need to improve. Tell us tell us whatever you want, but 5 stars, but then be truthful. And again, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, subscribe how you want to. Again, check us out, mwcconnection.com. We'll be back next week for a week 9 preview. And again, we don't care about you. Well, I don't say we don't care, but as our t-shirt should say, that we're biased against every team, we'll stick with that.
Job well done.